It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, and what an absolutely tragic story in Kittitas County last night. So you had a sheriff's office deputy. He tried to stop a car that was reportedly in a road rage incident, and then he was joined in the chase by Kittitas City cop, one of only three. The guy got out of the car, opened fire, shot and killed Kittitas County Deputy Ryan Thompson. And as you just said, Ursula, 42 years old, obviously a beloved officer, and the other cop who was shot, he's in satisfactory condition at Harborview.
Yeah. So Ryan Thompson, father of three young children, married, been with the department for 14 years. And we heard from the sheriff, and I actually played some of his comments a little bit earlier today. And he was saying that this kind of thing does not happen in Kittitas.
And to tell you how rare it is, this is the first time in nearly 100 years, in 92 years, that any law enforcement officer has been killed by gunfire in Kittitas County. He's the first Kittitas sheriff's deputy ever to die from gunfire. And again, it was a beautiful, you know, last day of winter evening in a beautiful part of our state. I love the just the whole feel and vibe over in that part of the state.
And if people don't know, I mean, it's close to Ellensburg. So we're talking about central Washington.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's God's country. And so out of nowhere, you have a car chase. It's then almost impossible to imagine that it's going to end with the driver jumping out and opening fire. But that's exactly what happened. And we're seeing now just that brotherhood and sisterhood of law enforcement. I know the King County Sheriffs, they've said they're going to have somebody at Harborview until the city cop, Chavez, is released.
He's 22 years old.
22, just recently married, and his wife is expecting their first child. Mm-hmm. And so she gets this nightmarish call that her husband is being airlifted to Harborview. And again, the officer who died is Deputy Ryan Thompson, who'd been serving for 14 years. And just another reminder of these cops and the jobs that they do. You never know when hell is going to rain down on them. And here's a little bit more from the guy you were quoting, the chief of Ellensburg, or the police chief in Ellensburg. His name is Ken Wade, and he was talking about how the officers approached this vehicle.
Had gotten behind the vehicle initially, and the vehicle failed to yield. As the vehicle got out to exit 115, there's a mini mart out there in the edge of Kittitas, and at that point is where Officer Chavez got in involved in the pursuit.
So Chavez is the 22-year-old, but he's in satisfactory condition. It was declared a serious leg injury, his shooting. But his comrade with the sheriff's office, Ryan Thompson, did not survive that. So, again, keep these officers in your prayers. And it's another horrible day for law enforcement in our state. All right. Lots of other news here in the Fastest 15, including, did you see the job that teenagers can get this summer? If they want to work alongside the Washington roadways and highways, teenagers can make $12 an hour if you're between the ages of 14 and 17 picking up trash along the side of the freeways in our state. It's part of the Washington Ecology Youth Corps. And this is yet another reminder that we are on such a ridiculous path here in Seattle, where you have Jenny Durkin and the city council talk about free college. We'll give you free college, which of course means somebody else will pay for it. And what I've said all along is if a kid wants to pay for their own college, they can do so. If they work summer jobs, evening jobs, starting when they're 14, 15 years old, they could pay for everything themselves instead of relying on others. And so what's the message here in Seattle? that if somebody wants to go to college, they could either pick up trash by the side of the freeway for $12 an hour or do nothing and let somebody else pay for your college. And so I just think that we are putting our kids on such a horrible path with this message that everything is free and all you have to do is have somebody else pay for your life. You want to pay for it? Go pick up trash. You could do it yourself, but you don't have to in Seattle. Everything's free here. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Bill Gates has just joined Jeff Bezos as the second person in the $100 billion club. And I'm amazed, as much as Bill Gates has given away, that
he's going to give away more.
I know, but he took that pledge, him and Warren Buffett and some other billionaires, that they're going to give away something like 95% of their wealth, which means they'll still have $5 billion for their kids if you're a centa-billionaire.
I was just having this conversation with Colleen because we were talking about that story. And she was saying that, you know, she doesn't know what she would do with all that money or that would be really hard. And I get that, too. But, I mean, I'd be happy with $1 billion. Then she was like, well, I'd be happy with $1 million. But just the thing, $100 billion.
Well, let me try to put it in some context. I was thinking about this. We talked yesterday. Mike Trout just signed the richest contract of any athlete in history. 10 years, $430 million. So he's going to get to keep about half of that because taxes are going to take half, more than half, and which is outrageous, by the way.
If he's injured or he just starts
stinking, it's all guaranteed.
It's guaranteed.
That's baseball.
The other thing I don't get.
Baseball contracts are guaranteed. So, so he will get about $200 million. Little over $200 million for 10 years, which is great money. But multiply that times five and you get $1 billion. Multiply that times 500 and you get where Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos are at $100 billion. They have 500 times more than the richest athlete in the history of the planet. And I get that. They started companies and you make money around the clock when other people are working for you. But still, the gap between, because I mean, Mike Trout, that seems like an unthinkably gigantic contract. But it's 1/5 of 1% of what Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos are worth.
I know, but there's a part of me that says, think of what Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos have done. And then compare that to Mike Trout. And Mike Trout is, you know, undeniably a great athlete, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a...
And how many lives are affected by Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos versus...
Yeah, and they've created... Gates and Bezos have created thousands of millionaires and hundreds of thousands of jobs. And yes, there's a reason why they're the two richest people on the planet. But isn't that weird?
But did you see the amount? I mean, so Jeff Bezos, so Bill Gates is just at, not just, but at $100 billion exactly.
Right.
And that's the first time he's hit it since the dot-com.
Yeah, it's gone up 9.5 billion, his wealth, in the last year.
But Bezos is much higher than that.
Well, for now.
Well, for now.
Until the divorce. Until she gets half, then he's going to be... Then Gates will be the richest.
But he's, you know, his earnings are going to be endless. I mean, I just think of how many times we all use Amazon on a weekly basis.
But how weird is it that the only two people on the planet who are worth $100 billion are from Seattle?
I know.
That's really bizarre. But that's the way it is. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, scientists studying our brains say that we are not fully grown up in our 20s and that adulthood really begins at 30. You might legally come of age and be able to sign contracts when you're 18. You can buy booze when you're 21. But new insights into how the brain is wired and reshaped through much of a person's life have revealed that at 18, the brain is still undergoing major changes. And they now say we don't reach full adult state until around the age of 30.
So can we raise the voting age to 30?
Isn't that interesting? That, you know, first of all, Beto O'Rourke, he was asked about the poem that he wrote, the Wax My Ass poem, and I worship the cows and give me your milk. And he said, I was stupid. I was only 16 years old. And he says that the voting age should be lowered to 16. Pelosi just said that a couple of days ago. So, but they're the same ones who say we should raise the age for buying guns to 21 because 16 and 17-year-olds, their brains have not developed enough that they can own a gun. But they, I mean, it's so crazy.
We can't even get 18-year-olds to vote.
It's
we can't even get 21-year-olds to vote.
I know, but how hypocritical to say that as a matter of law, we should raise the age to buy a gun to 21, and the same people say, oh, and we should lower the voting age to 16. They're just hypocrites. They're inconsistent hypocrites. But that's the big push right now. But here's the question I have. I thought about this from a very different angle. Mm. The greatest, most memorable music ever, almost all of it was written by 20-somethings. You know, the Beatles were in their teens and early to mid-20s. They were late 20s when they broke up. So the Beatles created all of this, you know, some of the most memorable, lasting music. The greatest stuff by The Who and Led Zeppelin and even Springsteen's best stuff. Most of it was created by people in their 20s. And I've never quite figured out why the magic of music seems to... Wait, of all the songs? This is the worst Beatles song ever?
Sorry, Dory.
Wow. No, but why is it that the most memorable music is created by people in their 20s, and why can't they replicate that? Why has Springsteen never had a Born to Run as he got more mature and more life experience? And I know he's had albums since then, but...
I'm going to guess it's because... of the emotions, a lot of the emotions that you feel during those years. Because you speak and you communicate and you show your feelings a lot through your music.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what we tap into most easily is the angst.
Yeah, exactly.
Of love's loss.
And the other thing, when you're younger, you don't put so many barriers on yourself. You are more impulsive. You are, you know, so you don't say, oh, that's not going to be good, or that's, I mean, I think that your creative juices are allowed to flow without, you know, second guessing as much.
But have you heard the stuff Paul McCartney, he just released an album a few months ago. Have you heard any of those songs?
Mm-mm. Are they
it's
boring?
It's dismal. It's the worst.
He's in a different part of life. He's in the...
Well, he's in the winter of his life now. But yeah, it's just odd to me. Elton John. He hasn't had...
You're naming all males, but I would also say the same for the females. Adele, I'm trying to think of more. Amy Winehouse.
Adele lately. What, has she done anything?
Yeah, well, because she hit 30 and she started having babies and quit writing.
Once you hit 30, you lose relevancy.
Well, you also have different priorities in life, I think.
But that's when your brain finally matures.
Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey, all those people that... Big 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, I have always wondered... But your answer is probably as good as any, Ursula, that they just are tapping into stuff that's memorable and touchstones for all of us. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots. He was offered a plea deal, and it said that they will drop all charges against him if he would admit that if they had proceeded with the prosecution, that he would have been found guilty of soliciting a prostitute. But the story was, oh, the prosecutors are going to drop all the charges. And so the clever headline on Drudge and elsewhere yesterday was happy ending. But it turns out it's not a happy ending for Robert Kraft, because he, through his lawyers, has said there is no way he will take a plea deal that requires him to admit he would have been found guilty of soliciting a prostitute at that Orchids of Asia massage parlor, even though they have him on video engaging or being engaged in a sex act with one of the masseuses. But Robert Kraft says that he will take it to trial rather than admit that, soliciting prostitution, you have a criminal record, and you have the shame. Although the shame doesn't change. Everybody knows what he did. And so I don't.
So what do you think is his motivation?
I'm guessing when you're a billionaire like him, he just thinks, if I can take it to trial, I'll figure out a way to buy my way out of this.
Because it's also, isn't it a misdemeanor, what he's charged with?
I think so. Yeah.
So he's probably thinking, okay, they're not going to really want to go through all this. I've got the money, so money's not an issue for me.
So the prosecutors offered him this plea deal, and he says no. So as of now, Robert Kraft is not a John officially. And all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ursula's going to check the news, and then retired Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. He's the president of the NRA, and he's got a lot to say about what's going on with our laws and legislature here in Washington and on the campaign trail nationally. He'll join us for a half hour coming up next. Well, here in Washington State, and indeed on the presidential campaign trail, the issue of guns remains a front and center topic in America. And man, some of the stuff I'm hearing from these Democratic presidential candidates is just flat out scary. And I wanted to talk about what's going on here in Washington and across the country. And who better to do that with than retired Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, who's the president of the NRA. Good to talk to you again. Welcome back to the show.
You're a brave man to do this in Washington, buddy.
tell me about it. In our state, this has been, we've got the most radical legislature we've ever had. And I tell you what, they have guns in their crosshairs here in Washington.
Well, even more important, they've got the rights of law-abiding citizens in their crosshairs.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this, Oliver, is we've got a very divided state where very liberal Seattle controls the legislature, and then we have a lot of rural people in central and eastern and southwestern Washington who have grown up with guns, their kids hunt. I talked to a 15-year-old girl who saved her brother's life here in our state several weeks ago when a mountain lion was about to pounce. And it's just interesting seeing the divide where the hardcore urban liberals are trying to take away the rights of, as you just said, the law-abiding people who have grown up with guns as a responsible part of their families.
Well, the crazy part of it is that none of these things are going to stop the kinds of heinous crimes that we've been watching over the course of the last several years. Very clear to me that the sanctity of human life has been diminished in this country. Couldn't tell you why because I'm not a psychiatrist. But when you look at some of these acts, these mass killings, the legislation that Washington and many other states are enacting isn't going to stop those things. I mean, I'm looking at some of the bills that you guys have outrageous, some of these things, the magazine capacity ban, the semi-automatic firearm ban, the mandatory government red tape for concealed carry permit. I mean, all of those things are aimed at the rights of law-abiding citizens because the criminals, the madmen, aren't going to abide by them. And there's nothing there to stop them except the, you know, see something, say something kind of thing, hopefully better than what they did in Florida last year. I mean, the idea of taking law-abiding citizens' rights away in an effort to protect us from criminals who aren't going to abide by these laws anyway is nuts.
Well, that's what's so frustrating about all of this is having conversations. It was like banging your head against the wall because I know what you say is absolutely true, that whatever law is passed, whatever signs are posted, they've posted signs in Seattle businesses about this business is a gun-free zone. And of course, that's not going to stop the criminals. And how people think that it is really beyond me. I mean, I know you have to deal with that disconnect on a daily basis.
Well, look, here's the reason why they're doing it. Because they won't work to stop the kinds of heinous crimes that we see committed with firearms. Eventually, what they're going to do is say, look, we've tried everything. The only thing that's going to work is confiscation. So these folks who call themselves gun control advocates and who put up signs like the one that you just described, which, by the way, happens to be an invitation to bad people to try things because they're pretty sure that the law-abiding citizens aren't going to have guns in gun-free zones.
Sure.
And so they can get away with a lot more heinous crimes because they know that's an invitation to bad people. The gun control movement is not a gun control movement. It is a Disarm America movement. And that's what they're going to try to do. It's not going to happen next week. It's not going to happen next year. It's going to happen in the 2020 election if we elect the wrong people. If this kind of trend continues, the very far left dominating state and local legislatures, God help us if we lose the Senate and we lose a very pro-Second Amendment president.
Well, I heard you 2 weeks ago speak, and you said that you truly believe that where we're headed with gun control will destroy the country.
Well, it will, because, look, all the freedoms that we have, let's take the full Bill of Rights, all 10 of them, right? We're out there proponents of protecting and saving the Second Amendment. But we're also, in the state of New York, protecting the First Amendment. There's a new case that's in Connecticut where the Connecticut Supreme Court has said a case against Remington Arms can proceed forward to a trial because of the outrage over what happened at Sandy Hook. When you look at those kinds of measures to attack, remember, the NRA got the protection for lawful commerce. We did that 10 years ago or more. The idea that they can now advance that case against Remington because of the way Remington advertises, in other words, freedom of speech,
sure,
is now illegal. That's where they're headed in this. And I don't think most Americans understand that the reason that the Second Amendment exists is to prevent government control over law-abiding freedoms in the United States for individual citizens. That's where we're heading.
Yeah.
Because that Disarm America movement is increasingly powerful, particularly given the kind of legislature we just elected in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, and let me fly through a couple sound bites, because this is just in the last 24 hours with some of the Democratic presidential candidates. But let me start with Beto O'Rourke, who was talking about AR-15s.
We allow people in this country to buy weapons that were designed, engineered, and sold to the United States military for the express purpose of killing people as effectively as possible in as great a number as possible. And an AR-15 gunshot wound will blow a hole through your back the size of an orange. You will bleed to death before anybody can get to you and save your life, because that's exactly what it was designed to do.
What do you say to Beto O'Rourke?
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I did spend a few years in the United States Marine Corps. I know an assault weapon when I see one. That is not a military weapon. It is a semi-automatic weapon that happens to be black in those cases. Mine is. And that's the kind of thing that they want to ban from public commerce in America. It's nuts. I got accused a couple of weeks ago by a reporter I was talking to, and she says to me, well, nobody hunts with an AR-15. I said, you know, ma'am, I've never killed a coyote with anything but an AR-15. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, what strikes me, let me just play the first 3 seconds of that soundbite again.
We allow people
to buy these guns, he says. It's the Constitution that not allows people, but it protects our God-given right. I mean, that was the great miracle of America, that our rights were endowed to us by our Creator, and they think that this is something, and that was the big genius of America, that if man can give you rights, man can take them away, but our creators, our founders, they said, no, your rights are endowed by your being, and that's why we have the Constitution.
Well, you know, one of the great things about this country is that ours is the only constitution that contains those kinds of rights. They're not given by the potentates in Washington. They're God-given rights, okay? Ours is the only country where every law officer, every person in the military, every elected official takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath ends with the words, so help me God. I've administered it hundreds of times in my career in the military. From the very first time that I took it on the 29th of December, 1961, and I've done it hundreds of times since, that oath protects the American people from government trying to take away their rights. That's what it's all about. Defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And they don't have to be people out there shooting at you. The enemies of our freedom right now are controlling these many of these legislatures and those kinds of actions you and I have been talking about.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, hold on. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the president of the NRA, he is with us. We'll talk more about some of the rhetoric that's happening on the Democrat presidential campaign trail and here in our state. Lots more with Oliver North next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the president of the NRA, is with us here on the Dory Monson Show. And I had you comment on one of the presidential candidates. Let me play for you a couple of cuts from some of the other presidential candidates just in the last 24, 48 hours here. Let me play a couple of these other Democratic candidates. Here's Kristen Gillibrand talking about your organization, the NRA.
Because the gun manufacturers only care about gun sales, they oppose the common sense reform that can save lives. They want to oppose universal background checks because they want to sell an assault rifle to a teenager in a Walmart or to someone on the terror watch list or to someone who's gravely mentally ill with a violent background or to someone with a criminal conviction for a violent crime.
Lieutenant Colonel North, why do you want to sell assault rifles to teenagers at Walmart?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is the sad thing is these are big applause lines.
Right.
And I remind people, it's not about gun control. It's about setting the process in motion to disarm America. That's where we're headed. And if we don't stop it at the ballot box in 2020, the rights that we have today, like my concealed carry permit in my pocket that the NRA got in 42 states, like the firearms that are locked in the gun safe back at home, those things are all in jeopardy because, first of all, the foolishness of people who elect folks like that and because of the ignorance level of the American media. I mean, anybody who's ever been in the military knows better. It's not an assault weapon. The idea that you now – I'm in Florida where – in Florida, they've ruled that a young American Marine or soldier or sailor who serves carrying an M16 or an M4 assault rifle cannot have a semi-automatic weapon that looks like that until he's 21.
Right.
Wait a minute. He's at least done two tours by the time if he came in the military at the age of 18. He's done at least two tours overseas. I mean, 2.8 million young Americans have served in this long war. It's okay for them to carry a firearm fighting the enemy in Syria. It's just we can't have that young guy buy a firearm that looks like it here in the United States. That's nuts, my friend.
Well, we just passed an almost identical through the initiative process here in Washington, raising the age to 21 as well. So, yes, people who have served and carried and defended us, they cannot back at home. Okay, one more soundbite from a Democratic candidate is Elizabeth Warren.
Right now, we're not doing anything, not even the most sensible kinds of things. Background checks. At the federal level, no fly, no buy. Like if you're on the terrorist watch list, maybe you shouldn't be able to buy a gun.
Okay, well, as you said, this is a big applause line, the no fly, no buy if you're on the terror watch list. And as a senator, I would think Elizabeth Warren would know how many thousands of people have wrongly been placed on that terror watch list? And again, that would be taking away the rights of people who have done absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah, we have a program in the U.S. government for what's called global entry. Global entry means you don't have to stand in a long line coming back from overseas, and I go overseas a lot. So I can't get in global entry, but I can't find out why. Somebody has put me in some kind of condition that says, no, you can't get on the global entry program. Now, I've appealed that. They actually have an ombudsman. If you look at the legislation, there's an ombudsman. But there's no requirement for the ombudsman to do anything. I sent a nice lengthy letter reminding him I used to chase down and kill terrorists. That was my job in the United States Marine Corps and the job of a lot of others, those 2.8 million that have served in this war. I can find no one who would give me an answer as to why I don't qualify for global entry. Here's a perfect example right there of the lunacy of relying on a list for which you have absolutely no idea how you got there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what we used to call due process in this country.
Before I let you go, you have a great series. It's called Oliver North's American Heroes, and the one that's coming up on NRA TV features Jason Brown, who is a former NFL player. Tell me about this.
Yeah, highest paid center in the history of the NFL. His brother got killed in Iraq, and he looked in the mirror one morning and he said, I'm not giving back. I don't stand a chance. And so he gave up the glory, that millions of dollars he was making every year, actually tens of millions he was making every year, and gave it all up, bought a farm, and he now raises food for people who can't afford to buy food. It's absolutely stunning. It's all done with volunteers and devout believers, man of extraordinary faith. And you know my definition, because you and I have talked about it before. A hero is a person who puts him or herself at risk for the benefit of others. He's not at risk of his life. He's put his entire family's future at risk. They have seven children, he and his wife, Faye. It's a great story about a real American hero. I commend it to you. If you go to NRATV.com or NRATV.org, click on the button that says American Heroes, and you'll see his story. It's terrific.
Yeah, it really is. Well, it's always good talk with you. I always appreciate having you on the show, and I appreciate you giving me a hand in trying to battle the particular craziness of our state here in Washington.
Well, you're in my prayers, buddy. You really are, because you're in the heat of the battle.
Yes, sir.
Semper Fi, brother.
All right. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the president of the NRA. Thanks for coming back on with me today.
Anytime, brother.
All right. Take care. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Would love to hear your reaction to the interview I just had with Oliver North. We're going to check the news for you, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.